Hello, everybody. It is Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for Multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back for our weekly Zeiss is Right video with Paul Zeiss, our Post-Gazette sports columnist. Paul, you're in the car because it's been quite the commute with all the flooding around Pittsburgh today, huh?
You have no idea, Adam. I mean, if those of you that work at home, you've got to be really happy because today is a nightmare, an absolute nightmare all around the city, coming, you know, especially coming from the north. I can't even begin to tell you what a headache it was to get in today.
Well, we are going to get into some Steelers talk to maybe make it a little bit easier for people. We're going to talk about the Steelers under the most pressure in 2024. Not a hugely newsy week. The topics are, you know, the news is not giving us topics, so we're going to have to come up with some on our own. So I'm looking forward to getting into that conversation with Paul. Before we do, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Zeiss is Right show here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Paul, Deontay Johnson has been run out of town. Kenny Pickett has been run out of town. Some of these fan favorites for criticism have been moved out of the organization. So I'm curious who the new Steelers are that are facing scrutiny, pressure going into this coming season with the way things are currently setting up. I got some guys on my list, but I wanted to give you a chance to list yours first.
The Steelers under the most pressure, I would say, obviously, you start with Russell Wilson. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody that's even a better answer than that. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who really needs to come in, not just perform for the Steelers to win and have success and all that other good stuff, but I mean, he's got Justin Fields breathing down his neck, almost as if he doesn't perform, you know, quickly during the season, if he struggles out of the gate, he could lose his job, you know, before he even really gets his feet wet. So I would say, obviously, he is number one, and I'm all about, you know, the offense. So number two to me is George Pickens. I mean, last year was pretty clear George Pickens was going to be, you know, transitioning into that number one receiver. Well, now it's him. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It's him. He's got to be the guy who makes it happen. He's got to be the guy who, you know, every week leads them in receiving and scores touchdowns and makes big plays in the passing game. So maybe those are one in 1A in my mind. But I would say those two probably right there. Then the other guy I would tell you, who, you know, now this year he's not a rookie anymore, Joey Porter Jr. Listen, he's got to be cornerback one. He's got to be the guy who, you know, I'm not going to say he's got to be Deion Sanders and shuts down half the field and all that other stuff, but he better be a lockdown, shutdown corner who the other team's best receiver is going to have, you know, is going to have to work really hard to make plays because of Joey Porter Jr., just because that position is so important, and it's so important for him to be that guy. So I would say those three are obviously, in my mind, those three probably have the most pressure. But there's one other guy, and I don't even know who it is yet, but whoever's the right tackle. If it's, you know, Dan Moore Jr., if it's a guy to be named later because they draft him, if it's whatever. Whoever is their right tackle is going to have a lot of pressure on them too, because they have a pretty good left tackle in Broderick Jones. They have a line that needs to be solidified a little bit, but if they can get a right tackle to play at a reasonably high level, boy, I think that it opens up everything for their offense. So those would be my four. I don't know, Adam, what about you?
You named several guys on my list here, Paul. I wanted to get into Joey Porter and George Pickens a little bit. Do you think the pressure on them shifts at all based on what the Steelers may or may not do in the draft? If you add a receiver who's a viable number two, for example, or if you add a corner who you know, can be a nice Robin to Joey Porter's Batman, do you think that you know, kind of brings the pressure down? Or do you think no matter what, if you're bringing rookies in, there's going to be a learning curve, and that's going to put the focus on those guys early to kind of produce, because just as we saw last season, the rookies didn't come along immediately.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, I think that that's the biggest thing, with especially with Joey Porter Jr. I don't know who's going to be the starting corner over there. And I think there's a good chance it could be a rookie. So obviously that rookie will have, or whoever is the corner opposite Joey Porter will have a lot of pressure on him. But to me, and this is where, you know, I go with Pickens, and this is why I go with Pickens and Joey Porter. You know, it's one thing to be the number two. It's another thing to be the number one. And if you're the number one, you better produce, and you better produce consistently. And you better be the guy that everybody, you know, looks to make plays when it's crunch time. So that's why, you know, to me, they're obviously going to go out and get another receiver. There's no question about it. I would assume they're going to do it in the draft. I think it's the same thing with a corner. They're probably going to try and go find a corner. In either way, those two guys that I named, Pickens and Joey Porter, they've got to be sort of the bell cow. The guys that make plays, because those are two playmaking positions.
Where do you think Justin Fields stacks up in this, Paul? Obviously, he's looking like the number two going into the season, but I think there's still some level of pressure for him to at least make people think about him a little bit behind Russell Wilson. Because if not, I mean, where does his career go from here? He's on a 1-year deal. No one really wanted him other than the Steelers, you know, in the offseason. They got him for a much lower price than I think you and I expected. Does he have to show something and maybe, you know, if not take over that starter's role for the Steelers, at least go into next offseason as the way Mitch Trubisky was when the Steelers signed him as a cast-off former Bears quarterback who impressed people with his work in Buffalo and parlayed that into a starting job with the Steelers early on?
Yeah, well, I think Justin Fields, it's kind of funny. He has no pressure at first because he's not going to be the starter. But to your point, he's trying to earn another contract. He's trying to, preserve his whatever's left of his the idea that he can be a starter for a long, long time. So he has to perform well, at least to the level of the Steelers really taking a hard look at him and deciding, listen, I can't imagine they're going to pick up his fifth-year option. I just don't think that's going to happen. They're not going to commit to him before they actually see him in training camp or in practice situations or even OTAs. But I do believe that he's got some pressure on him to show them enough that before the season they decide, listen, we're going to offer you, a 2-year deal. 2-year extension for, I don't know what, 10 million a year or something. I don't know, 20 million bucks, which is still nothing at all in the grand scheme of things. Say, listen, we like what we've seen so far. We like how you progressed. We actually can see a path where you could be our starter at a point. And so given that, we're going to give you the opportunity. We're going to give you the opportunity to, continue on your journey. This is what it's going to cost you. And that's where they go from there.
I want to ask you about Minkah Fitzpatrick, Paul. Listen, we've seen what he can do, but at times in the past couple of years, he has not done it in the moments that seem to matter most. Didn't play well in the playoff game against Buffalo. Didn't miss him. The Steelers didn't miss him when he was out injured for a lot of that 3-game winning streak that put them into the playoffs. You bring in Deshaun Elliott, a guy who is very good at stepping up and run defense, which is kind of what held Minkah Fitzpatrick back. He has a huge contract for a safety. Is there no more excuses for him anymore? And especially with Patrick Queen as well. I forgot to mention him at middle linebacker. They should be better in those spots where he's had to step up for them recently. Is the time now to start seeing him generate turnovers and become that center field player that the Steelers have honestly kind of lacked because of their needs in the last couple of years?
Well, I mean, I would think that obviously there's a lot of pressure that's been taken off of him by some of the moves that they've made, for sure. And I think that here's the thing, Adam, and I know I'm in the extreme minority here, but I've always thought Minkah Fitzpatrick is extremely overrated. I actually think he's been a good player at times. I don't know that he's justified or merited his contract. I don't know that he's this. I know he's, I think he's been all pro maybe or something, but I just don't know. I watch him play and I say there's so many plays he doesn't make. He's not a guy that to me really warrants and justifies being mentioned with TJ Watt and some of the other stars they have on defense. I just don't, I mean, I think he's a good player. Don't think he's a great player. I said this, I don't know, a month ago, the Steelers should try and trade him and see if they could trade him, but they're not going to probably. It's going to be hard to trade him because of his contract now and everything else. So he better go. He better make plays. He better be that guy. Again, he better be the guy that they thought they were getting when they traded for him way back when he came. And, you know, we saw flashes of it at times. We saw different, you know, times when it looked like he was going to be that guy. But he's had injuries. He's been hobbled with this. You know, there's been, like you said, some built-in excuses made for him, which I've always said, when you're getting paid what he's getting paid, you're expected to be a guy. And I just don't know that he's been that guy. I think he's been, you know, I'm sorry, you're expected to be a dude, to use young people like you, the way that you young people like you talk.
I'm not quite that young, Paul.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you know what I mean? You're expected to be a dude. And, you know, he just hasn't been that. And so I feel like, it, you know, this is a big year for him in a lot of ways, if he really wants to justify, you know, his contract and his status as sort of a star player.
I'm going to ask this one quickly, Paul, just because I want to get into the Pirates and some pit topics. But Patrick Queen of the newcomers, I mean, there's got to be some level of pressure on him, right, to justify this contract. You know, I think a lot of people are excited about him, but I think that patience will, just as it did with Devin Bush, just as it has with a lot of those guys who've played in the middle in the last couple of years, the patience will wear thin quickly if he doesn't produce, right?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, he's got to produce. And of course he's got that stigma that he's a Ravens guy. So if he doesn't produce early, I think people are going to be really quick to try and hammer him. But I think he's going to have a fantastic year. I think it's set up for him to have an incredible year based on the way the Steelers play defense, based on the players around him. Provided that Watt and Highsmith stay healthy, provided that Joey Porter Jr. does what we think he's going to do. And listen, you know, the safeties, I think, are good players. Again, I think if the safeties do what they're supposed to do, I don't see why Patrick Queen won't have a monster season playing for the playing here. You know, there's a lot of people that basically said that the Ravens defense sort of propped him up and who he played around. It's not like he's playing around slight, you know, it's not like he's playing around stiffs here. I mean, he's got a lot of good players around him here. So I think he's going to have a monster year. He's one of the least of my worries with this team. I think he's going to be pretty good.
Paul, we're going to get into some Buccos. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up-close and personal learning, a top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Paul, has anything about this hot Pirates start? They're 5-1 as we're recording this on Thursday morning. Has anything changed your big picture opinion about them? Or is it hard for that to happen a year after they collapsed from 20-8? Obviously rebounded late in the season, but really went into a swoon, looked like a 100 loss team for a couple of months after that hot start last season. Do you fear deja vu there? Or do you look at the fact that important pieces are hitting well and think, you know, maybe that's better than where they started from last season?
Well, I mean, I think I said, what, about 78 wins, I think is what I picked for them, 78 wins. What's the number one concern that we had going into the season? The starting rotation. And we've seen, you know, their guy that they just signed to, what, a five-year deal that's supposed to be their bell cow, right? Mitch Keller. He's pitched twice, and he's looked a lot like Mitch Keller. And that ain't a compliment. So you've got that to worry about. You've got obviously the Bailey Falter thing. I don't even know what they're doing. Jared Jones was great. Okay. What I saw from Marco Gonzalez is exactly what I thought I'd see. He grinded and found a way to get through five innings, which is what he'll do. You know, he only gave up one run. Some days he'll grind through and give up four runs. And so my only point is when your pitching staff really is, you know, boils down to a lot of guys with a lot of questions, and even as fantastic as Jared Jones is, and I think there's a lot of people that forget, you know, it wasn't like he threw an eight-inning, one-hit shutout. I mean, he did give up three runs in five innings or whatever it was. So, you know, and that's not the rip on the kid at all. I think he's fantastic. I think it was fun to watch him throw the ball. My point is, every one of these starters has a question mark that I don't know that we've really, eliminated it yet, and probably won't for another, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And that's why, they still look like a 78-win team to me. I mean, I just feel like that's what they're going to be. You know, they're probably not going to have the complete collapse that they did last year, where they went for 2.5 months and were just terrible. But I do think they'll have some periods where they struggle a little bit and they don't win a lot of games. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's gonna look like what we kind of thought it was going to look like, a team that got close to 81 wins, but just didn't quite have enough pitching to get there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Paul. I got to see a lot more from these pitchers before I change my big picture. I mean, we saw Connor Joe tear the cover off the ball early last year too. We said he wasn't going to hit 400 last year. He didn't, and then I don't think he's going to hit 400 this year. So, you know, it's nice to get off to a nice start. I think it makes for better discussion for guys like you and me. But yeah, not a ton of optimism that a whole lot has changed in the big picture yet. Talk to me in a couple of weeks, Paul. I'm going to get you out of here on this. The Bob Carrington announcement has been greeted with some level of anger in the Pitt fan base. A lot of people saying, why are you celebrating this good player leaving Pitt? I think some people are frustrated that Pitt didn't find a way to keep him via NIL money. But, Paul, I mean, that's a high standard, I think, when you're comparing it to the money guys make in the NBA. There's only 300 jobs. It's not like the NFL where, you know, guys can fall and maybe the salaries are low enough that maybe, you know, college teams can make themselves, you know, more – attractive to these players. I think if you have a chance to play in the NBA, you got to take it. And I think if you're Pitt, you got to highlight that you're putting guys in the NBA, don't you?
I think that anybody that doesn't understand why this announcement took place and why it was like in a celebratory way, they don't understand modern day college basketball and college football, Adam. That's just what it comes down to. Jeff Capel had to put the best face he could put on it. He has to. And the thing about it is that press conference they had, right, 100% was Jeff Capel saying to every player out there, if you come to Pitt and you're good enough, we're going to help you get to the NBA. And by the way, look, you can get to the NBA if you come here and play because of, you know, the way that we play and, you know, my staff and our development of guards. Look at these young guards. Look at this guy. This isn't women's college basketball where you're competing with $75,000 salary or whatever it is for the WNBA in the first year. All right. If Bob Carrington's a first round pick, he's going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And here's the other thing that I think people don't understand. A lot of these guys don't want to be in college. They don't want to go to class. They don't want to do all that stuff, right? They just want to play hoops and make money doing it. And so, you know, it's unrealistic to think you can make a guy like that or get a guy like that to decide, hey, I want to stay, I want to be here, if he doesn't want to be here. So if you're Pitt, if you're Jeff Capel, you absolutely have to frame it in a way that you're basically saying, look at the strength of our program. Look at the strength of the way our coaching staff develops guys. And by the way, if you're good enough, I will never hold you back from going to the NBA. In fact, I'm telling him, you know what? I checked into the NBA and they said he's going to be a first round pick. And I told him, you got to go. That's all that was. It's what we call a dog and pony show, but you have to do it. If you want to ever be able to recruit the best players or get players to come to play for you, you have to do it.
I agree, Paul. I think NIL can make a difference in marginal cases, but I don't think Bob Carrington was a marginal case, and I don't think there was any chance that whatever resources Pitt NIL could have mustered would have kept him here. So I'm right there with you. It was something that needed to be done. Paul, any final thoughts before we sign off here? I know you got to run.
No, but real quickly, we'd be remiss. Let's do this real quickly. I have South Carolina beating NC State. I have Iowa beating UConn. I have South Carolina beating Iowa. And then I have Connecticut beating, who do they play? NC State, right? Is it Connecticut, NC State, or is it, no, Connecticut, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I have Connecticut winning it all. I can't think of the other matchup, but I know Alabama plays. Alabama, NC State, Purdue. Who does Purdue play?
I think it's Alabama, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I got Purdue. I got Connecticut beating Purdue in the championship game. Put it that way.
Yeah, fair enough, Paul.
All right.
I'm going to pick – I'll probably go with UConn as well, although I love that NC State team that we got to see up close in Pittsburgh. Kind of cool to see them make that run to the Final Four.
Yeah, obviously.
All right, so, well, we will be back next week with Paul. I'll be back on Saturday as well with the Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video. Please make sure you're subscribed. Please like the video if you enjoyed it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.